Brother Hall was already scheduled to bring the message this morning in my absence. And so when I called him, I said, I want you to go ahead and bring the message. And so appreciate him. I didn't do much studying yesterday. The wedding started at 2 o'clock down there at their time. At 3:07, we were in the car headed home. It was a 30-minute wedding ceremony, a 15-minute picture taking, change clothes, and hit the road. And the way you do that is you get behind bear bait. You get behind those cars that are semis that are going 80 miles an hour, and you let them run interference for you with all the police cars tag along behind. And so it was incredible the time we made. But I was behind the wheel the whole way, and the ladies just sat down and buckled up and were quiet. So the Lord was good to us. So I didn't prepare to preach at all today. And Brother Hall's a good preacher, and I'm looking forward to it. Charlie, you're singing for us, so come on, and we'll enjoy the song. And after that, Brother Hall will bring the message as well.
Song. Thank you. Turning your Bible to Galatians chapter number 1. Galatians chapter number 1. I feel a little bit like I'm back in Bible college, back in homiletics. Got preacher over here grading me. No. I feel a little bit like that, but I'm looking forward to preaching this morning. And preacher probably didn't let you know, he had a wedding this week, and I also performed a wedding this week for a 90-year-old couple. It was something you don't always hear whenever somebody's getting married saying, just meet us, 10 o'clock over at the nursing home. That's where it was, 10 o'clock over at the nursing home. I got there a little bit early. They were ready to go, and they said, let's get this done. Okay. All right. Hold your horses. We'll just stop it right there with the stories of that. But Galatians chapter number 1, and it says, we'll read the first 5 verses there. It says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. We're going to talk for just a couple of minutes. We're going to get home here soon, but what's the good news? Probably need some good news this morning, traveling through that snow. We'll talk about that, but before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all that you do for us. Thank you so much for the good song that we just heard, and Lord, how you are ever interceding. Lord, I pray that you please, just for a couple of minutes, help us to put away the conditions of the road and the weather that's coming, but listen to what you have for us in your word, and we'll thank you for that. In your name we pray, amen. What's the good news? Has anybody ever come up to you and said that? Not really a phrase that you hear too much anymore, but somebody will come up, hey, what's the good news? And I'll tell you what, in the weather that we're getting, and if you were to go online or get a newspaper, you might not get some very good news. In fact, I was looking this past week on some news that that was just in the headlines just this past week. So I got onto Fox and I looked, and some of the headlines were this: fears grow as Al Qaeda resurgence in Iraq as death tolls soar in 2013. It's kind of bleak, not very good news. How about this one? Priest murdered. Okay. And then snow way out. Winter storm threatens to ground travelers across the U.S. Here's another one. Car towed with sleeping child in back seat. This one was a little bit different. Woman has toe bitten in New Year's Eve fight. Okay. Just what I needed to know. How about this one? You said go ahead, skip to the meat of my sermon. How about this one? Walmart recalls donkey meat in China. Okay. Yeah, I'm not feeling too good. I had some bad donkey meat over the weekend. Well, I won't get into that. Never mind. I won't tell you why it was recalled. But, you know, if you're going to get some good news, I would recommend that you don't go to the news networks. They might have some momentary good news, but just keep reading and you're going to find some headlines that are going to make you disappointed. They're going to make you sad. Because for the most part, you know, the news networks, they're just trying to sell some newspapers. They're trying to get some sensationalism going. They're trying to get you worried about it and, I need to buy some papers, find out what's going on. And you're not going to find some good news out there from the newspapers. You're not going to find them from the news networks, from Fox or CNN or anywhere else. You're not going to be able to get some good news from those places. But I'll tell you where we can get some good news. We can get some good news from God's Word, from the Word of God, and He can help us this morning. Even though it's snowy outside, even though it's supposed to be wind chill of negative 40 tomorrow, we can still get some good news from a place. And hey, listen, your internet goes down, you can still get some good news tomorrow. You can still go to the source where you can get some good news. He's there for you. The Bible says that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And praise the Lord for that. Well, Paul tells us in verse number 3 that the good news is from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. And we can get some good news this morning. We have some good news today. And what's interesting to read here is in verses 1 through 3, Paul kind of gives us a contrast between us, verses 1 through 5, of how we were before we were saved and how we are now. Over in Ephesians chapter 1, he talks about that. And we'll look at that in just a second. But the good news that God wants to give us is in verse number 3 of Galatians. Galatians 3, it says, grace be to you. Grace be to you. And God wants to give us grace, and God has given us grace. And that's the good news for us today. Look over to Ephesians chapter number 2. And so now Paul is giving us the contrast of before we were saved and now that we are saved. He gives us the contrast here. And he says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So that's where we were before Jesus came into our lives, before we experienced Christ's grace. But God, verse number 4, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Hey, we've got some good news of his grace this morning. We have some good news that he has given us grace. Hey, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad. It's wonderful to be saved. I'm thankful that as a 13-year-old boy, I was sitting in a football camp and over on the side. To be honest with you, I don't even remember what was being preached, but I know that the Holy Spirit was working in my heart. And when that invitation was given, he asked for those who weren't saved to raise their hands, and he belabored there for a little while, and I just sat there and I struggled. He went on to something else. I don't know if he was talking about baptism or whatever, but I shot my hand up and I said, "That's me. I need to be saved." And as a 13-year-old boy, I came down and my dad opened his Bible and he says, "Mick, you know the verses. You've even led others to the Lord. But here's the verses again," and he showed me those verses, and I got saved there as a 13-year-old boy. And as a 13-year-old boy, I experienced Christ's grace. I experienced that. And I want you to see that his grace is powerful. Verse number 1, it says, "And you hath he quickened." What does it mean to be quickened? To be quickened means to be made alive, to be alive. "And he made us who were dead at one time in trespasses and sins." We were dead spiritually. God took us and he raised us up. He raised us up and he made us alive again. Hey, the same power that Christ used to raise Lazarus from the dead, he used that power to save me, who was dead in trespasses and sins. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. It says in verse number 23. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 23. He's made us saved, or he's made us alive again. And God says that is so powerful, his grace is so powerful, that he called it being born again. And in verse number 23, it says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." God has made us anew, and the grace is so powerful that not only did he make us born again, but he made us a new creature. And praise the Lord, that's so amazing that his grace is powerful. Next thing real quick is his grace is personal. His grace is personal. There in Ephesians 2 again, it says, "And you hath he quickened." Hey, I'm thankful that Paul was saved, and I'm thankful that Timothy And I'm thankful that all the people in the Bible, and I'm thankful that Pastor Angel is saved, but I'm thankful that I'm saved. And I hope that you're thankful that you are saved also, because his grace isn't just for a couple, or isn't just for a certain person out there, but it's for everybody, and it's personal. It's for you. Thank God that I'm saved. That grace can be for anyone in here today. That grace was for anybody in here today. Over in John chapter 9, it talks about a blind man, and I love the story here about the blind man who Jesus saw him and knew that he had been blind from his youth. And so what he did is he spit on the ground, took a little bit of that clay, and he put it on his eyes. He said, "Hey, go and wash your eyes." So he goes over to the pool and he washes his eyes. And then he's able to see. He's so excited, he goes around telling everybody, "Hey, I can see now, I can see now." The people, his neighbors see him. "Hey, isn't that so-and-so? He's been blind for a long time." He says, yeah, that's me. "I was blind, but now I can see." "Hey, how is it that you can see?" "Well, this man named Jesus came along. He spat on the ground, put something on my eyes. I went and washed it, and now I can see." So they took him, and they take him over to the Pharisees. And the Pharisees said, "Well, this is the Passover. That man's a sinner. There's no way that he could perform miracles. How can he perform miracles if he's a sinner? This was the Passover. He's not supposed to be. This is the Sabbath. He's not supposed to be performing miracles. He says, listen, I don't know if this guy's a sinner or not. All I know is that I was blind and now I can see. All I know is something happened to me. Something happened to my eyes and I can see now. Praise the Lord. Listen, I'm not the smartest man in the world and I'm not very smart at all, but I do know one thing. I was blind, but now I see. As a 13-year-old boy, His grace was powerful enough. Listen, it's amazing that His grace is powerful. But what makes it even that much more incredible is that it is personal. That it is for us. The grace of God is not only powerful, but it has to be personal. I cannot get saved for you. You cannot get saved for me. Your mom and dad cannot get saved for you. As much as I love my sons and as much as I want my sons to be in heaven with me someday, I cannot get saved for them. They have to accept Him for themselves. Each and every one of us has to accept Christ on our own. Romans 14:12 says, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. So His grace is powerful. His grace is personal. But His grace is in the past also. It says, and you hath He quickened. That was in the past. It's done. It's been completed. There is nothing more that needs to be done to save you. Your name is already written in the book of life. Your name is already there. It took place the very moment that you got on your knees and you asked Jesus in your heart. The very moment that you did that, you were saved. It's not, do you know for sure you're on your way to heaven? Well, I'm trying. No, it doesn't work that way. I'm trying to be saved. No, it's not I'm trying to be saved. It's I am saved. I know that I'm going to heaven. For by grace are you saved through faith. It didn't say for by grace are you saved through feelings. We're not always going to feel like we're saved. You might wake up someday and you might do something wrong. You might say something wrong. You just might not feel like you're saved, but we're saved through faith. And that is already done. Once you acted on that faith, you did that, then you're saved. And that grace is in the past. It's already been done. Next thing, and we're moving quickly, is His grace is prophetic. Someday He's going to come back and He's going to take us home to heaven with Him. And I'm looking forward to that day. And if Lord tarries and we die, I know that I'm going up to heaven with Him. 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Hey, just because we die here on earth doesn't mean that's it. We're done. No, we're going, by His grace, we're going to be up in heaven with Him. By His grace, we're going to be able to spend eternity with Him. And I'm looking forward to that. Turn over to Ephesians. Now chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 1 says in verse number 13, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth and the gospel of salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Hey, that's good enough news for me. And that's some good news this morning. I'm thankful that we have the good news of God's grace. But there's more news. Go back with me to Galatians chapter number 1. His powerful, his personal, his past and his prophetic grace is amazing. But then look at this. Verse number 3. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father. I want to give you some good news of His peace. God wants us to live in peace. He wants us to have a peaceful life. He doesn't want us to always be in turmoil and wonder and be fighting. Go to the news network and, oh my goodness, what's happening? He doesn't want us to constantly be living like that. He wants us to have peace in our lives. He wants us to be able to live a victorious life. He wants you to have that. John 10:10, I am come that ye might have life and that ye might have it more abundantly. God wants to give you peace and give you an abundant life. That's how God planned for us to live. He planned it for us to live like that. But here's the problem. God created us in His image. And he created us so we would have a personal relationship with Christ. He created it that, created us that way. And that relationship with Christ brings us peace. But here's the problem. Turn over to Isaiah 59. Isaiah chapter number 59. Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59, verse number 1, it says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." The problem is that something comes in between us and the source of our peace. Something blocks the source and blocks the way for us to be able to have that peace. And that's where the problem is. The good news about his peace is that we can get it again. Just because we sin and we do something wrong, we can get that clog out of the way. We can unblock that and we can still get that peace on our lives. For a long time, Mars has always intrigued man. And Mars has always looked to be something that man has tried to go towards. Of course, just getting to space was the first step, and then getting to the moon. But for a long time, man tried to get to Mars. And one of the first attempts to get to Mars was the Mars Climate Orbiter. And it's incredible to me that they can calculate all of the gravity and they can calculate all of these things. And they can figure all of that out in order to get this thing out into space and then to try and get it to land. That's amazing. But one of the first tries at getting this, landing at Mars, was this Mars Climate Orbiter. It took them 2 years and a billion miles until the spacecraft finally reached its orbit. But what happened was, unfortunately for the Mars Climate Orbiter, something went wrong. It made the journey all the way to Mars, but then in its final moments, disaster struck. Initially, scientists were not sure what happened, but contact with the spacecraft was lost. And so they did not know what happened, and then later on, when they were going through and they were trying to figure out what was the mistake, they finally figured out what was wrong. It was a very small mistake, but a mistake with very big consequences. One programming team used English units, inches, feet, miles, while the other programming team used metric units, centimeters. And because of that, the calculations didn't work. And because of that very small mistake, they missed out on the opportunity of being able to reach Mars. Now, when NASA officials were asked about the error, they responded that the error wasn't the biggest problem. In fact, it's very common for humans to make mistakes. We make it all the time. People just make mistakes. But the biggest mistake was, according to the NASA officials, was the failure of the systems of checks and balances to detect the error and correct it. We're going to make mistakes in our lives. It's just human to make mistakes. But the biggest problem comes in when we don't correct those mistakes and we don't fix those mistakes and we allow that simple mistake to block us from an amazing opportunity, not of just getting to Mars and finding out if there's water underneath the crust, but of having peace from God, having a relationship with God, to miss out on that because of a small mistake that we can correct. So that's so amazing to me. Hey, God has peace for you this morning. And you can get that peace. He has peace for you in the storms of life. He has peace for you in the snowstorms out there. He has peace for you in the times of war. Peace for you in friendships. Peace in your marriage. Peace in your home. Peace in your job situation. Peace in your soul. He wants to give you that peace. But what's blocking that peace? Nothing between my soul and the Savior. Not of this world. World's delusive dream. I have renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine. There's nothing between. Nothing between like worldly pleasure. Habits of life, though harmless they seem. Must not my heart from him ever sever? He is my all. There's nothing between. Nothing between like pride or station. Self or friend shall not intervene. Though it may cost me much tribulation, I am resolved. There's nothing between. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. So that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clear. Let nothing between. Don't let anything come between yourself and the peace that God can give you. Don't let anything come, because he has peace for you. There's good news. Maybe you're having a rough time at home. Maybe you're having a rough time at the job. There's some uncertainty. God can still give you peace in that storm. God doesn't say he'll give you peace and no storms. God says he can give you peace in the storms. He can give you peace through that, and he wants to. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God wants to give us grace. That's the good news. He wants to give us peace. That's the good news. But I just want to give you this real quick, and we'll be done. Go back to Galatians chapter number 1. I won't even get into this very much, but Galatians chapter number 1, verse number 5. Third piece of good news that I can give you this morning. Verse number 5, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I just want you to see that. The good news is we get to glorify God. We get to glorify him. We can glorify him in our words. We can glorify him in our body and spirit, like the body says. We can cause others to glorify God. We get to glorify God today. And I hope you do. I hope you tell people about the grace that he's given you. I hope you get to tell people about the peace that he's given you. But maybe you don't have that in your life. Maybe you don't have the peace that passes all understanding. Maybe you don't have his peace in your life. Maybe you don't have his grace on you. Maybe you don't know for sure you're going to heaven when you die. You can get that settled. Maybe you need to just take a second. And when we have the invitation, maybe you need to come down and glorify God. Thank you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you. Lord knows I don't deserve his grace. Lord knows I don't deserve anything. But he gives it to me anyway. He gives it to me, and I'm so thankful for that. Heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. Just wanted to give you some good news this morning. We'll head home in just a minute. But before we do that, is there anybody in here that says, Brother Mick, I know that I'm saved. I've asked Jesus in my heart. I remember a time and a place when I did that. That's me, Brother Mick. I know that I'm saved. Just slip your hand up. If that's you, hands all over the auditorium, you can put those down. How many of you say, is there anybody in here that say, Brother Mick, I don't know that I'm going to heaven when I die, but I'd like to know that. Maybe I've been trusting in what my parents have told me, or maybe I've been trusting in coming to church or something that my parents have done, but I don't know that I'm going to heaven when I die. I'd like to get that taken care of. Is there anybody like that? Just slip your hand up. Anybody at all? Anybody at all? All across this auditorium, is there anybody? Say, that's me, Brother Mick. I don't know that. Well, maybe as the piano plays, you need to come a little bit and just take a second to glorify God for all that he's done, for the grace that he gives us. Oh, how powerful it is, but how personal it is also. It's already finished, but yet we still have some to look forward to also. The grace that he gives us, but then also the peace that he gives us every single day. Maybe we need to thank God for that. Let's all stand as the piano plays, and if you need to come and do business with God, why don't you come at this time?